All right, our stations are all back with us. AM/FM stations all across America. You're caught up on news, weather, traffic, and sports. Darla Collinette. Christians' domestic violence problem is the subject. Wow.
I guess
you got to talk about this, right? Christians don't beat their wives or verbally abuse them, right? Unfortunately, domestic violence is a problem in many Christian homes. In fact, as Darla, our guest, will tell you, it has reached epidemic proportions, and she, our guest, is making it her mission to help churches address the problem so that both victim and abusers can be healed. Darla can reveal the four core aspects that fuel abusive Christian marriage. Wow, this is a heavy topic, Darla. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ed. Thank you for having me again.
Sure, it's a pleasure. Tough subject, though. I'm not even sure we should be talking about it on the air right now, because it's such a stereotype. It seems like we're just going to reinforce it, but it's a problem, so let's try and change what we can. What's that serenity prayer, right? Know the difference between what I can change and what I can't. All right, where does it begin? Is this something that goes back time immemorial? It's a stereotype. It's true. Talk to me about Christians beating their wives. What a subject. Hard to believe we're talking about it. Go ahead.
Yes, it is, but it doesn't matter. This really goes across the board. The misconception is that just because you claim to be a Christian or Christ followers, what really the term should be, that you automatically do everything right, which is wrong, because none of us do. And so it goes back to, what is your definition of Christ follower, and then how does that look? And it's actually the perfect time to talk about this, because for Christians and for many people, Jesus, the birth of Jesus for Christmas, is the reason for the hope. And he showed us that it is possible to overcome things as long as we're walking with God and doing what he tells us to do. So if we practice following the way he loved people, especially women, then there wouldn't be a problem at all. But as you know, we've talked about this in a prior interview, that, you know, there's the human spirit, and there's things that we get used to accepting as normal when we grow up. And so until we're made aware that something is different, then we keep doing the same thing. So it's the perfect time to start bringing this up, because it's the new year and we need to start thinking about what we want different in our lives. That
all right.
We do have the power
what,
to change
what
it.
What fuels abuse in a Christian marriage?
So what fuels abuse is the unawareness. You don't know the definition of abuse and what that means. You don't realize that what you have accepted as normal compared to what God's word said is, you know, different and disrespectful. So you need to know those two things. There's the brokenness of us, which we all come into this world sometimes in difficult circumstances, which was my case. My parents loved God, but they were very broken, and that just kind of pulled on to me. And so I adopted that brokenness and thinking that was normal. So we don't know our brokenness, and we also don't understand that commitment of love, you know, and we're not willing to commit to anything. We want to do everything our way, in our fashion, and not God's way. And so that creates a whole nother set of problems as well. And we just, the other one is our unwillingness to see something different.
Well, how much of what you were describing here is tied to religion? In other words, if you believe in a God of authority, a God of the Old Testament, you are more likely to whack somebody, because that God was very brutal when it acted out. So there is a thing like, that's what my God does, and I'm a version of that for my household. So there is something with, I'm right, I'm the authority, you're the sinner, I am correcting you.
Yes, if you go strictly by the Old Testament, that's where a lot of people get struggling, and that's what they see. But if you go to the life of Jesus, at that moment when he was on the cross, that is all of God's attributes. That's his mercy for us, his compassion for us, his love for us, his faithfulness for us. It's all those things in one place at the same time. And if you really study the Old Testament and look how many hundreds of years God would send people to warn people, and he would say, you know, this is going to get you in trouble. And, you know, of course, they said, no, we'll just do it our way. And so when Christ came, that changed everything in the sense of grace, that we now have direct access and we can change things. Now, the hierarchy of religion, this is true. I mean, there is one God, and so it goes down. What's happened in the past with many religions, different cults, is they tend to twist things. And even in the Garden of Eden, if you look at it scripturally wise, the devil quoted scripture back to Eve, but he twisted one word or two words, you know. So this is kind of what happens in our lives. When we don't study the word ourselves and know our truth for God, then we start listening to what people say. And for me, from the pulpit for years, you know, I heard be submissive, do this, but they left out the whole part of what does that really mean. And the next part was, husbands, you're to treat her like Christ because she has Christ in her. Now, if that's how we really look at each other, do you really think you're going to slap Christ or choke Christ or hurt Christ? But we just don't take that as real, you know. And that's where the church is falling down. The church is falling down in the sense that they don't even talk about it from the pulpit very much, you know. And the reality is 20 people every minute are abused, which comes out to 12 million people a year. These are just adults. This is not even talking about the child abuse and everything else that's going on right. When you have domestic violence homes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's epidemic, you know, and as a church, as a Christ follower, I'm calling this to churches and saying, if this is truly what we claim to be, then we have to start, one, creating places for men to be taught, what does it look like to be a godly father? You know, a loving, caring father that's respectful. What does it look like to be a wife that does those things? Because when we come to our lives in brokenness, we do what we know. And until we can really see, oh, this is how it's supposed to be, that we're supposed to be all about love and giving and not about taking and controlling, you know. And that's primarily what abuse is, whether you're talking about bullying, mm-hmm. whether you're talking about the sexual scandals,
right.
Whatever you're talking about, it all comes to abuse, which is disrespecting one another.
Now, are churches getting this? Do you see a change? Is it slow? Is it catching on like wildfire? Are they getting this message?
Well, with your help, hopefully they start getting it, because something has got to change. And that's my mission, and my prayer is that this will start changing. It will be a slow thing. It will be a difficult thing. But that doesn't take our responsibility to hold one another accountable, like the word says, to help one another by teaching and by training. But if we could do that, can you imagine the impact that would have in the world? You know, it would be awesome. And that's what we should be doing. So it's a big calling for me to talk to pastors and say, we have to step up. World missions are very needed and all of those things, but there's so much going on with the domestic violence within our own communities that we have got to stop and take a look. And another issue I'm having is when I teach hundreds of women in Bible studies, you know, I hear these stories constantly, and they struggle with, well, if I leave God, you know, what does God feel about that? Or, you know, how do I deal with this? And so I take them, you know, through some of those processes of, you know, with Christ in you, you have to be respectful of the Christ in you, so therefore you can't allow him to hurt you anymore. And if this is happening, then we, you know, call a shelter and we'll start that process or whatever.
Well, there you go. I think, right, you hit on a big point right there. So many women, look, let's face it, if what you have is a 3-bedroom house and what it means is going to a shelter, then, you know, there's a disincentive right there.
Right.
Are we seeing a change in, is it generational, how the change lays out, or is timing of when you were born not as relevant as you get older in making a difference in this area?
Whoa. I mean, you could argue every point of that. And I don't know. All I know is that I was created in this time. And
older
I
women,
know
though,
no,
older women, no different than the young ones, a 21-year-old, a 61-year-old. I'm thinking they're out of two different worlds, right?
Yeah. In fact, it's harder for them because they probably don't have any life skills. And at this point, they've been so dependent on their husband, they have no choice. Mm. You know, Ed, the reality of this is the number one reason why women end up staying where they are is because of financial reasons. They take that whole bear and burden on of taking care of the kids and the responsibility. And even if they start doing a job, the abuser will sabotage it. The abuser will control it, you know, all of these things. So my reality is, if I could talk to the men of the audience, because I don't believe that the majority of men want to be disrespectful, mean, controlling, and hurt their wives. I just don't believe that. And if that's the case, then if you're, you know, if you're having trouble and you're not figuring out what's going on, then start educating yourself about what are the signs and symptoms of abuse and where did that come in your life to think that that was okay to yell and scream at your wife, throw things across the room and scare her.
Right.
You know, where did that come from? And then how do you fix it? Okay, that's, you know, part of it. And I think the other part is if there is problem and you need some separation time, then you as men, you're the ones that need to find an apartment, pull together with a couple guys that are doing, you know, having these issues, keep your wife and children in their home so that they're doing what they need to do and just start working on each other. You know, you work individually, then you can come together and hopefully heal the marriage.
You're so good at this subject. Did it take you a long time to be this good, facile with it? Because I know you've had your own bad experiences, but how tough was it for you to rise out of that and then be able to help others?
You know, it's extremely tough whenever you're in the circumstances, but that's one of the things with faith that has really helped me. There's a difference between believing in something and knowing something. And for me, I experienced God opening a door every time. I experienced him giving me strength when I thought there was no more. I experienced provision. I would get a refund check out of the blue when there was no money, you know, to feed my kids. And, you know, from 3 years ago. So I know from experience that God is real. And because of that, I knew that part of my journey is building on the next part, which for all of us, that's true. But then I realized, you know, as I started healing more and more, that I can not only help people see his light, but just empower themselves to find their own healing journey. Because it takes, you know, it took me 13 years to find that path, and it's taken me, you know, 25 to really get to this point. So, you know, it's taken me a long time, but I'm so grateful. I wouldn't trade any of it.
So amazing. Darla's book is Who's Writing Your Life's Story? Go to the website, godstransforminggrace.com. The book, Who's Writing Your Life's Story, is available on Amazon. Our guest has completed domestic violence training and served as a domestic abuse response team member for Crossroads Safe House in Fort Collins, Colorado. A member of the core team of the Women's Ministry at Timberline Church in Colorado for 6 years. She workshops, retreats, and blogs. And we love having her on the show. Darla Collinette on the Ed Till Show. Darla, thank you for the time today. You're so good at this, and we appreciate you sharing some time with us.
Thank you, Ed. I so appreciate this, and I hope your listeners are helped.
You bet. I know they are when you visit with us like today. Thank you, Darla. The Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network News, weather, traffic, and an in-depth look at the end of the day on Wall Street.